Blog Talk Radio.
The Madden, pardon me, gosh, I am here. The Madden Voice returns, season 5, episode 20. We are at the conference championships now. This season has really just, it is zipped by. But we're here, and there are only, you know, really, you think about it, there's only 4 more football games left. We have the 2 conference championship games, and then we have the Pro Bowl, and then we have the Super Bowl, and then that's it. It is over, you know, and get ready for the draft and, you know, then enjoy your summer, I guess. But that's it. We're down to 4 games and a very exciting week of football, some surprises and actually a lot of surprises if you ask me. But, you know, I can't do this by myself, so I must bring on my co-host. He is the EAFL Super Bowl I winner. And we all know him affectionately as Dr. Train. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T?
What's good, brother?
Man, it was an exciting weekend, man.
Yeah, man, a lot to talk about, man. A lot to talk about. And we also have with us live from Indianapolis, Indiana. No, it is not Peyton Manning. It is Pittsburgh Steelers' number one fan. Still hasn't gotten over the defeat of his Steelers some 9 days ago. He's still reveling out there. I've heard sightings of him near the edges of some bridges out there, you know, just kind of walking around going, I've heard about it. So, but he's back with us, one of the best Madden players in the world. Catch him on Madden Nation Season 4. If you don't believe me, because he's on there. He was also a finalist last year for $25,000 in the VGEA Madden Challenge, and he's with us every week exclusively here on the Madden Voice, and he is K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Yeah, you could, if you don't believe it, see me on iTunes, Madden Nation Season 4. You can actually look it up, purchase me, you know, put me in your little shopping cart. We can roll.
There you go. And, you know, the other thing is, we don't talk a lot about Madden on the show is like we used to. We've really changed and gone very big into football. But every once in a while, we like to talk about Madden. But K-Star, to take a minute, because you actually, I mean, being one of the best players out there for several years now, you actually now offer your services to the general public, right? People can actually hire you, right, if they want to learn how to play the game better. Is that not true?
This is absolutely true. I've already done a few lessons with a bunch of people already over the past year, at least I would say about 11 or 12. I'm offering hour-long lessons, if not more, to people who are interested. Obviously, you know, there's a fee that involves with anything with time. But you can reach me on Twitter at AliQuick, AliQuick. Or you can email me at pshaw317@gmail.com. But, yeah, you know, we just do Xbox or PlayStation 3, it really doesn't matter. Whatever part of the game you need help with, even if you just want to, like, I don't know, maybe feel like you're really good and you want to see how good you are, you know, and you want to put your stuff up to a test and see, you know, if it's foolproof or if it's not, you know, we can come find out. But, yeah, defense, offense, you know, whatever the case may be, what are we looking for, really? Any playbooks, I can teach you my scheme. Again, it really doesn't matter. You have an hour of my time, if not more. Up to you, but again, you can reach me at AliQuick, AliQuick, or hit me up with my email, pshaw317@gmail.com, and we can get you squared away.
There you go. I mean, hey, I gotta be honest. I played the guy. Okay, this ain't. You know, I'm not blowing smoke. I played the guy, and it was embarrassing. I mean, I had to look at him, and I had to say, dude, next time, man, use Vaseline, please. This is disgusting, man. This is pathetic. You know, it was. You know, and I give credit because he was a good sport about it. He didn't sit there and really tell me how crappy I was. The score told me, but he just kind of sat there and said, hey, you know, you'll do better next year, kid. You know, that was really it. So, you know, I I picked my jaw up the ground and I just went over and I played NJ Rod, and I actually did get that win, so I did get a win on that tournament. But anyway, I digress. You know, I digress. So we had some very, very exciting games this weekend, but I would be remiss. I just saw something on my Facebook page, and so I would be remiss if I did not send out condolences to, I guess, you know, really think about it. We kind of didn't touch on it last week, but I'm not sure all the news was out. But last week you had the offensive coordinator Philbin's son passed away, and then I just heard today that Mike Tomlin, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers' father, passed away. And so, you know, this is a show about sports, but this is also about people. This is about real people, and real things happen to real people. Sometimes I think we forget, you know, you see the people on TV and they're celebrities and they're millionaires and this and that. They're people just like you and I, and they have families and people they love too. So, and you know, we never know who's listening to the Madden Voice. I mean, we did have Dwight Freeney on here, you know what I mean? So we never know who's listening to the Madden Voice. And, so definitely, you know, our condolences to, Joe Philbin's family losing his son, and, Mike Tomlin's father, you know, to the Tomlin family. We've given Mike Tomlin nothing but love on this show because we all think, especially K-Star, but, you know, Train and myself both think he's a fabulous coach. And so, you know, our condolences. So so with that said, let's move on and talk about some football. You know, let's talk about them 49ers and that Saints. Now, I got to ask you guys both something, because I noticed both of you, Train and K-Star, sometime during like the first quarter, I saw comments like, I thought the Saints were overrated. I saw one of y'all said that they were exposed. Now that the game is, I thought it was a little premature to start making those kind of statements like in the first quarter of the game. But now that the game is over, and yeah, the 49ers did win the game, but do you now think that they were, that the Saints were overrated, or that they were exposed in that game? I don't care who starts. Train, why don't you start?
I think they played against the toughest defense that they've seen all season, the regular season included. And I think the 49ers just showed some weaknesses in their offense. You know, it shows some weaknesses definitely in their offensive line. Their offensive line couldn't keep four guys off of Drew Brees, especially that guy Smith. I forgot his first name, but Smith. Huh? Yeah. That dude was a beast the whole game. I mean, his motor never stopped running. So when I was saying exposed, like, I saw one play that I thought was a picture-perfect scheming your coverage to get Drew Brees to just throw you the ball, because he never did see the defender. But it was the perfect defense to be played in that situation. But just the physicalness that the 49ers brought, that was, you know, I don't think the Saints experienced that all season. How physical they were offensively with O-line, everything included. I mean, them DBs, you know, they wouldn't let anything go. If they could get a hand on it, they would try to get a hand on it. And they didn't get flags called on them either. There was no hold. There was no defensive holding penalties, or, you know, them hitting the receiver or tight end too early. I mean, they were getting on the ball. So, yeah, that's what my phrase exposed came.
Yeah, I don't know that I would call that exposed, but clearly this was the hardest hitting and most aggressive defense that they've seen all year. It might be, no disrespect to Ray Lewis and the Ravens, I'm sure they'd have something to say about it. But and them doggone Texans defense isn't that bad either, I gotta tell you.
Man.
Yeah, they started off slow, but they came through. And made that a game. But I got to agree with you, man. I think that I noticed that Brees got his numbers. They got their yards. They got their points. But, man, did they have to work to get them yards, to get them points. I mean, and it took a phenomenal offense like the Saints, I mean, to really – I mean, they had to work to – you know, and you kept waiting. I don't know. I kept waiting for the Saints to blow this open. But as the game went on, it just was like, these 49ers, man, their secondary is second to none. They were covering downfield. They was not giving up nothing downfield. And they were hitting. And, you know, the turnovers in the beginning, man, really, I mean, Breeze had a pick early on. But, you know, Pierre Thomas, man, dude was knocked out. Dude was knocked out.
That set the tone right there.
That set the tone for that whole entire game. That shit right there. I didn't even off my couch.
And what got me was the announcers didn't really – they didn't seem to comment on – they commented that he was injured, but I didn't hear not once did they say, dude was out. I mean, his arms went limp when he dropped the ball. He didn't drop the ball because they stripped it. He hit helmet to helmet, which in that case is a legal hit, and he was out. And I was like, oh, damn. And I agree with you guys. I agree with you, man. This team that I said, and I did say that they're a better team than people thought, but they're better than even I thought. This is not the team that the Cowboys beat in week two. The Cowboys wouldn't stand a chance against these guys right now. This is not the same team. It is. And let me tell you the other thing I want to say, and then I'll give the floor to K-Star. For three quarters, man, Alex Smith didn't show me nothing. And I kept sitting there saying, the better quarterback's going to win this game. You know, the Saints are holding, you know, their defense is doing enough, just enough to keep them in it, and it's only going to be a matter of time. But I'll be doggone if down the stretch that dude didn't make some plays. And and no disrespect to Big Gene, Madden's Big Gene, who said that run, that keeper around the left side, was the best play he'd ever seen. I'd say it was the second best play I'd ever seen. The best play I ever saw was the Bears kickoff return earlier this season. That was still the best play I'd ever seen, even though I believe it got called back and didn't count. But it was still the best play I'd ever seen. But that keeper to Alex Smith was a hell of a call.
Dude,
I mean,
that came out of nowhere.
That was sheer brilliance. I mean, I got to tell you. K-Star, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the game?
It was crazy because I watched it with my best friend, who happens to be a huge Niners fan. And, you know, all week leading up to the game, you know, he was, of course, so excited because, you know, first time in nearly a decade, his team in the playoffs. And when that hit happened, you know how when the Steelers destroyed the Titans after getting demolished a week before against the Texans, and we're like, oh, K-Star has a new life to him. I felt that he had a new life to him as soon as that happened. Like, it was almost like reaffirmation that the Niners are here, the Niners are real, when Pierre Thomas got absolutely rocked. Because the Niners with the NFL world, no, right then and there, if there are any doubters, there shouldn't be any, because that team is very physical. And the Saints knew right away that, hey, they're in a battle. You know, the Niners were great. You know, they got up 17-0. They picked off Drew Brees, I believe, two or three times. They forced fumbles. They were sound on special teams, recovering a couple fumbles. They were plus +5, I believe, in turnover margin, which is insane. The thing that held them back for three quarters was the anemic offense. And, you know, Alex Smith played well at the beginning of the game. But, you know, eventually
short,
the boss.
He had short fields, though. I mean, he had.
Yeah. I mean,
know,
yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, he didn't really supposed to do the short field for the most part.
Right,
but,
right.
Yeah. You know, eventually the offense bogged down, and that lead became to dissipate more and more and more. And, you know, my Niners friend, very nervous, you know, watching the game. And when the third quarter was happening, you know, he didn't say it. But I even thought at one point, I'm like, man, the Niners really need to go out and try to get like Peyton Manning or something for next year. And lo and behold, the fourth quarter happened. Now, I'm not crowning Alex Smith by any means. I don't want anyone to get that, you know, vibe or whatever. But I think he did prove himself a little bit.
Wait, what'd you say, K-Star? What'd you say?
I don't want anyone to think he's.
Oh, no. We just. The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bullshit? Bullshit! We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
That's the best part of that whole thing. You want to crown them.
Yeah, you know, the funniest part about that whole thing is the beer commercial they did, where they did the clip, you know, the commercials they were doing, and they used that in the beer commercial. Mm-hmm. And then the end, the guy said, "Oh, that guy's pissed." You know, and let me ask Train, because I know Train's best friend in the world, and our longtime EAFL participant, who, if I remember correctly, and this is dating my EAFL memory a bit, I do believe he was your opponent for the Super Bowl one, right?
Yes, he was.
His name is Carlos. We know him as Memphis because he goes by the name of Memphis 49ers. And so I know he must just be running around just touching himself, right? I know he just must be like going crazy, right?
Well, he's keeping it. This dude keeps like even keel. I know he's ecstatic, but I think I talked to him right after Dante Whitten hit Thomas. I called him like a knee. I was like, dude, your team, man. Somebody gonna get hurt today. And we talked for a minute. He said he had to go, so he ended up having to record like the second half of the game. So he didn't take any phone calls. Cause I called him as soon as the game was over. He didn't take any phone calls until he actually got home to see the rest of the game. But yeah, he's ecstatic.
That's good.
Man, I really jumped on their bandwagon because on 49ers bandwagon just during that game, simply because leading up to now, everybody has been leaning towards the team with the potent offenses to win it all. And the whole phrase that defense wins championships was just getting ready. It was getting thrown out the door. And, you know, even though the Ravens did face T.J. Yates, who just, good grief, man, I don't know what got into that kid. But in either case, just the 49ers Saints game just lets you know that defense can still win championships. Alex Smith didn't have to do a whole lot. He did have to make some plays. But, you know, he did a very good job to me in three quarters, not giving the game away because they were coming for him. The Saints were sending all kind of heat to get this man to call the ball. They were playing man coverage, blitzing seven, and sometimes did not even have a safety out there.
You got to give credit. So I was going to say, on the defense championship, this weekend we saw more defense this weekend than we've seen all year. And we saw it from defenses.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw it from the Saints and the Ravens and the 49ers who've been playing good defense. We saw it from the Texans who've been playing. We also saw it from the Patriots. Who pissed poor defense, and they rocked. And we saw the Saints defense. I mean, they looked pretty good out there. I mean, they really did. I mean, I've watched a lot of Saints games, and I was like, wow, these guys came up. I mean, that was a game that you don't like to see anybody lose because it really came down to who had the ball last at the end, last 4 minutes of the game. Which brings me to my next topic, which was the uncoverable, unstoppable of all people. I mean, if you had gone into this game and said, who's going to be uncoverable and who's going to be unstoppable, you might have said Jimmy Graham. You might have said Colston or Crabtree. You might even have said Ted Ginn Jr., maybe. I don't know that anybody would have said unstoppable Vernon Davis like that. And let me just remind everybody of something we heard about 3 years ago.
No. You don't want me to go much further. Go right ahead. Ask your question. Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team and then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else, rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Now let me ask a question. Let me go to K-Star on this one. My first thought when I thought of this was, wow, you know, look at how this guy has become a winner and Singletary's long gone. So I started saying Singletary must be sitting over there like pissed off because he couldn't get this guy to play to this level. Then I thought deeper about it, right? That was my initial reaction. 7 catches, 180 yards, 2 touchdowns, game-winning touchdown. I mean, just, you know, world-class performance. I know Vernon Davis is a good – he's a good player. But that level of play, that's a T.O., you know, and very similar to T.O., I might add, or, you know, Hall of Fame receiver-level play that we saw to him. It was unbelievable. And I started thinking, like, maybe Mike Singletary somewhere is just like silently applauding and saying, I did that. I set the tone for that guy. When this guy could have went one direction, I said to him, no, that's not part of the team. You're thinking about yourself. This is about the team. So I kind of swung back around, although I'm not completely there. K-Star, which way should I be? Which should Mike Singletary get credit, or should Mike Singletary maybe get some blame that he didn't handle the guy right?
He should get credit. You know, okay, let me – no disrespect to Vernon Davis, but let me just put it like this. We're all children at some point. You know, we're all babies, and you know, eventually we got to be raised, right? We got to be disciplined. We got to be taught the right way to go about doing things. Eventually, we grow into adults, hopefully, and into men. Vernon Davis, you know, he was a bit, you know, of a prima donna, immature kind of guy. That was actually a knock on him when I was college in Maryland. And, you know, Mike Singletary obviously had some growing pains with Vernon Davis. Eventually, however, you know, Vernon Davis got over himself, was about the team, and earned his captain's stripe that he got last year. And now we've seen it come full circle. That man led that team, that offense, to a win over the Saints. He was phenomenal. Vernon Davis is a wonderful talent. And, you know, at the end of the day, yes, Mike Singletary does deserve some credit because, you know, he helped develop that player into what he is today. Maybe without all this rah-rah stuff, you know, Mike Singletary, maybe it doesn't get to Vernon Davis. Maybe none of this gets through to him because, let's be honest, whatever was what happened before, it didn't get to him. Mike Singletary seemed to have finally got to him. And, you know, I'm sure he was like a proud father watching Vernon Davis come and play a huge role for the Niners on Saturday.
Train, you agree with that? Disagree? What do you think?
After hearing the way you put it, I would have to agree. You know, I mean, he probably didn't do a good job with that team, but, you know, there is a possibility that he did set a tone for a player. And that, you know, Vernon Davis did get a better team attitude about the game after that. Because I love this post-game interview. Just right after the game ended, and they had him out there for a few minutes, you know. Thank God. Thanks his teammates. It was all about his team after that. So, I mean, when I hear, you know, you put it the way you put it, I would have to agree.
Yeah, and I think I got the, you know, like I said, originally I said, you know, and the whole thing with the 49ers this year has been, I mean, it's pretty much the same team as Singletary had last year, and look at the difference. And, you know, it is amazing the turnaround in this team in just 1 year. And in a way, I think it's a bit deceiving because I think, you know, now you're going to get GMs and owners thinking, you know, what team, what college coach, or, you know, can they go find to come in here and turn their teams around? But 49ers do have, you know, especially that defense, they do have some pretty good talent. But it was a heck of a game over the Saints, and, you know, took my Super Bowl prediction and shot it to hell. Now, I mean, now that's not a, you know, it took my Saints away. And you know, now the other half of the NFC, the Giants and the Packers, you know, I don't know, Train, you want to talk about this one? I know you're happy.
I want to talk about that
one. Yeah, because I know you're happy about it, so you might as well, go ahead, man, I'll give you the floor, man,
I told you last week this would be the game that them Packers would go down in. I saw the way them Giants were playing going into the playoffs, starting with the win over Dallas, with the win over Atlanta, and here we are going to the Packers. They had their 1 week of rest. You know, everybody say, oh, they were off. I don't want to hear that. You wasn't off all season. 45 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. That offense was clicking. No.
Yeah, all right. Wait. Now, let's not necessarily trying to make excuses, but let's be realistic here, okay? We ain't seen Rodgers miss those passes all year. The passes that we saw him miss, 2 or 3 passes. We ain't seen that number. And I am not a Packers fan by any stretch of the imagination.
He didn't miss passes.
Oh, no, he missed. Oh, no,
game.
He missed passes.
No, they dropped balls that
no,
game.
No, he
they
missed.
So many.
No, son, Chris, go back and.
No, I don't have to go back.
He had Finley wide open for a first down and missed the pass. He missed
but
at least.
Maybe 1 or 2 passes?
My point is we didn't see wide open. I'm not talking trying to thread a needle. I'm talking wide open. We didn't see that from Aaron Rodgers all year. That's what I'm saying. So, and yeah, there were drops. There was half a dozen drops too. You know, so you got to ask yourself, this is a team. Yeah, hey, I'm not taking anything away from the Giants defense and how well they played, because they put a whooping on the Packers. There's no doubt about it. They beat up on the Packers. But you can't just dismiss the reality of the fact that, yeah, this team had a week off. Rodgers hadn't played a game in 3 weeks. And I think that impacted things. And then the other thing of their offensive coordinator's son passing away, you know, these things all together had to have an impact on this team. Because for that team, they just played these guys a month ago in their stadium and didn't look this way.
If you want to use that, use it. I'm not going to.
Well,
I'm looking at it
objectively because I don't have a horse in this race. You hate the Packers. Like, you can't stand the Packers.
Oh,
so
you
got to
get up.
Race.
Hold on, man. You got to get
horse
up to
in
play
race.
The game. You can't come in the game like, oh, man, we just had a death. We've been off 3 weeks. You can't come in the game with that on your mind and be like, okay, we still got – you still got to play the game.
And they did play the game. But
they did not
make the excuses. We are analysts. This is what we do. And the reality is you can't dismiss the fact. When I saw there was definitely 2, but I'm thinking there were 3, wide open, and Rodgers just missed them. And I was like, because at the beginning of the game, I'm like, you know, this is a professional, man. You know, you ain't played in 3 weeks. Who cares, man? You're a pro. I don't hear that mess. Then I'm watching the game, and I'm like, what? So, you know, would they have won? I don't know, because the Giants played that well where it might have been a little closer, but I don't know if it would have been enough to win. The Giants played a hell of a game, and not taking anything away. What I'm saying to you is you can't just dismiss it, though. You can't that's just like saying the Bears went flat after you lost your quarterback, but you had another quarterback in there, so who cares? Well, it matters. It matters.
Well, yeah, I know it matters, and I still say Chicago should have won 2 or 3 of them games with that bad quarterback that we had in.
Yeah, he sucked ass. But anyway.
Hold on, let me jump in here. I got to straighten things out real quick. Okay. First of all, Aaron Rodgers on Sunday was actually Aaron Rodgers. We saw him make passes or miss passes, again, as T alluded to, we normally do not see. Do we know if that's necessarily Russ? Or is that playoff nerves? I don't know. I mean, he hasn't been in the playoffs too often. Let's not crown him, act like he's the greatest quarterback of all time, like some people were trying to do earlier this year.
But he did win
No, we're not going to have that here. He's not Tom Brady. We're not going to have that. He missed a lot of throws, you alluded to. But guess what? The Patriots were also off for a couple of weeks. If anything, just remind me of the Steelers-Colts game from 05, where the Peyton Manning-led Colts broke all these records. You know, they rested starters. They came in a little flat against the Steelers, and, you know, they didn't make the plays to win the game. You know, Peyton Manning was off, Aaron Rodgers was off. Do I think it had to do with Russ? No, I think it had more to do, however, with that Giants defensive line being fully healthy, unlike when they played last time. OCU and UR was there, healthy. Justin Tuck was there, healthy. And, of course, JPP's in ball all year. The main thing else, to me, had more to do with the Giants defensive line,
Listen, I hate the fact that I have to always educate you guys here. I hate the fact that I always have to be the singular voice of reason in these conversations. But to even mention the word nervous, this is your league MVP, okay? Let's just put it out there. For what he did in the regular season, he's going to be the league MVP. All right, 15-1. He just won a Super Bowl, just played this same team in their stadium a month ago. How dare you say nervous? Was the Giants defense playing that well? Absolutely. Absolutely. The Giants defense, I can't take anything away from that defense. They were phenomenal. Absolutely. Did they cause him to play at a level that we're not used to seeing? Did they contribute? Absolutely. But to dismiss rust when he hadn't played in 3 weeks, I don't think that's fair. But to bring nervousness into it? No, that's ridiculous.
Hold on.
What NFL quarterback plays the game nervous?
Listen. There's a playoff energy, a playoff nervousness that does happen. It could be excited, nervous. I'm not saying the man played bad or missed throws because of just off nerves alone. However, there is that playoff energy. You see things in the playoffs that usually do not happen. Now, when you combine that, I'm just saying playoff energy with rust, as you alluded to, and a ferocious Giants defensive line, which I analytically predicted would give the Packers offensive line all kinds of problems and more so than they can handle. Hey, that's what you get. An errant Aaron Rodgers and a team that honestly couldn't come back from all the devastating, you know, miscues that they laid put on themselves. Like, look at that. They fumbled. The William Kuhn fumble. Actually, and the refs, you know, this is just bad because it was just bad all around because the Giants should destroy them by even more. The refs, for whatever reason, just absolutely loved up on the Packers all year this year. I don't know why. I don't know if it's something to do with them just being Super Bowl champions of last year. But they absolutely got every single call in the book this year. And not to mention, they tried to nastily rob the Giants on national television by reversing what was a sure fumble into a call that stood. We can sit there and say, oh, they had rust and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, it balanced out. They got all the calls that they needed. And they still couldn't get it done. They still got blown out.
All I'm saying is to not acknowledge the fact that, and this goes to the whole, do you rest your players? Do you not? Do you go in hot playing or do you not? This is an ongoing controversy. And as you know, Bill Belichick has always been of the mindset of we're going to play. I don't really rest players. I may take them out for a quarter or something, but he plays his guys. And Mike McCarthy made the decision to rest Aaron Rodgers. And I do believe more than any other factor that it was the fact that this guy hadn't played a game in 3 weeks. And you can't dismiss the fact that he just played the same team a month ago and play on a much higher level than we saw in his home stadium.
Right. And we've also seen teams also, you know, again, the Colts in 05 beat the ever-living shit out of my Steelers on Monday Night Football. Destroyed us. But the next time we play is a completely different game. So, I mean, at some point, hey, sometimes you play bad. You have a bad game. And they had it at the wrong time. Again, they fumbled. They did a lot of things. It wasn't just Aaron Rodgers. They fumbled. They dropped a crazy amount of passes. You know, they just got absolutely destroyed every phase of the game. So, again, I still think I had a lot to do with OC Mignor being game on, like, when he was last time.
Can I get back in here? Since someone asked me to give my analysis of the game, didn't cut me off because I didn't have his same mindset.
I'm sorry. I get allergic to bullshit sometimes. My bad. Go ahead.
It's not bullshit. My thing is this. I don't care that you were off 3 weeks. It's a playoff game that you have to be ready to play. If you want to say that the death of their coordinator's son kind of weighed heavily, I'll give you that. But I won't give you anything else. You got to be ready to play. Because if it was my team, if I was truly a Packers fan, I'd be looking at them like, what the hell? What were you doing for 3 weeks? 3 weeks.
I'm not asking you as a fan. This is where you misunderstand.
You get ready for this team.
I'm not trying to make excuses for them. I'm asking as an analyst, this is what we're doing, Dr. Train. We're analyzing the game, and we're taking into consideration all the factors that impacted the game. You don't get to pick and choose because you don't like something and say, well, I don't like that, so I'm going to throw it out. The reality of it is the guy hadn't played a game in 3 weeks. So I'm asking you, in your opinion, it doesn't matter. That's fine. But to not even consider it would be negligent. We need to at least have the conversation as to whether or not that 3 week layoff impacted. In your opinion, it doesn't matter. That's fine. In my opinion, I think it did impact it. Because
it,
as K-Star confirmed, and if you go back and watch the game, there were passes that he missed that we didn't see him miss all year. I think that was
There were more drop balls in that game than Rodgers missing passes. That's what I saw. I saw his receivers drop balls consistently. And was killing their momentum. It was clean first down. I didn't see as many miscues as you. I don't even remember his miscues. It might have been one, maybe two, three at the most.
Hold on. They had a touchdown too. Short touchdown, Drake Jennings.
Yeah, I wonder what game Drake
Jennings.
Thank you.
They had a short touchdown, Drake Jennings, where Rodgers rolled out. And he tried to throw to the right, but where
he couldn't get that ball.
I
know what you're talking about.
Listen. I hold on, though. Here's the thing. I mean, as we've seen, though, before, teams that do – and I don't want to waffle around here, but, again, I got to agree that he does have a little bit of a point. Teams that have rest of their players, their starters, the last few – they usually don't win. Again, we saw it with Peyton Manning a few times.
That's not true.
Yes, it is. Let's look at it.
No, that's not true. You're trying to say that every number one and number two seed
The number one and two seeds or whatever – that rest their starters for the last week of the season, sometimes the last two games, yes, it does play a factor. And it's been talked about for years because of this. You know, it's a tried and failed method. However, the one downside to not resting starters is if, like, T alluded to, the Patriots playing the starters, they lost Wes Welker a couple years ago right before the playoffs against Houston.
Right.
So, you know, you play Russian roulette regardless. Either you risk the health of your players or you risk, again, a slow start, which I think we all agree the Packers had a slow start. Now,
absolutely.
I am going to continue to say, however, I still think it was more so the Giants' pass rush, but there were some miscues by Aaron Rodgers that we usually, you know, we haven't really seen too often. But I don't think
he had miscues due to pressure. He
I
wasn't back there having all day
they,
to throw the ball.
They weren't all his miscues. There were two that I saw. I'm not talking about the one where OC got in and knocked the ball out of his hand. There were two that I saw. One was rather significant. It was a third down, and they were driving, and Finley was wide open, and he threw the ball high. Okay, and those are momentum, the drive killers, the momentum killers.
Yeah.
And that is the kind of play that when I saw that, I said, damn, he is rusty. It was no pressure. I mean, yeah, they got pressure on him throughout the game. But, you know, the Packers, you've watched the Packers as much as I have. They're a methodical timing offense, just like the Saints. Okay, and when you take your cog out of that offense and then put them back in, and this has been debated. I don't even know why you're like, why we're having an argument on the debate. This is not a new debate. This is an old debate on do you rest your starters or do you play them through. The Giants, they're hot. Why are they hot? They had to play. They come in, they're hot, they're fired up, they're ready to go. And this was talked about all last week versus the team that had to buy and also rested some of their players in the last game. So you had the hot team that came in and you had the rested team. This happens regularly. And in this case, the hot team whooped that ass. Absolutely. I would wonder what would have happened, and I can wonder this, if the Packers had something to play for like last year, when they went in as a sixth seed and didn't have any option to rest any players and barely made the playoffs and had all their starters injured and went and ran right through everybody and won the Super Bowl. You see the difference from last year to this year. Same quarterback, a lot of the same parts, and this year they're healthier. So I wonder what would have happened had they not had almost want to say kind of a victim of your own success to some degree because they had the ability to rest players and now look. I think that had a huge impact on the game. They weren't ready for this team. They were not ready. They weren't. And this team, I mean, it does hurt me to say it because I can't stand the Giants, but I'm going to give them credit because they whooped that ass.
So you feel that they weren't ready due to resting their players versus just the Giants having a better game plan and just playing better ball?
I think I think the rust and the lack of playing was a bigger factor. And if to debate that after the game they played a month ago, they just played. You know,
I just disagree.
Well, so okay.
We can move on. I disagree.
All right. So we got the Giants at the Packers. And I'll start this one. Okay.
Giants at 49.
Giants at Packers. I'm crazy. Giants at 49. I sent you guys out the agenda. No one caught that, right? You guys probably didn't even look at it, man. Punk asses. Anyway, Giants at the 49ers. Giants at the 49ers. All right, so we've got defense against defense. We've got another rematch. These guys played a few weeks ago, too. 49ers won. Alex Smith showed us something in the last 4 minutes of that game. You know, very similar teams in a lot of ways. You know, the Giants are hot. I mean, right now they're hot. And you know, I up until this morning, I would have probably picked the Giants because they're hot. And I heard some of their players running their mouths and how they're going to win this game. And, you know, I really like the 49ers coach, and I really don't think he's going to sit there and allow his team to not be prepared for this game. They've played before. They won before. Their defense is playing just as physical, if not more so, than the Giants' defense. Their secondary is better than the Giants' secondary, if you ask me. And they're home. You know, they don't have to travel across the country. And, you know, it's the lesser of two evils for me. I really don't care for either team. But I'm picking the 49ers. And it's not an anti-Giant pick like it was against the Packers. I really thought the Packers were going to win. I just think the 49ers, after the way they beat the Saints, which I did not in any stretch of the imagination think they would do, and the fact that they were able to beat the Saints, I think they're going to handle the Giants. So I'm going with the 49ers to take out the Giants. Train?
You saw my Facebook post, man. Once I fell in love just watching them play D. I mean, it wasn't necessarily the offense, but this first three quarters, just watching the 49ers defense go to work, and, you know, you knew Drew Brees was going to turn it on at some point, but they still kept the game from getting out of hand, even though, you know, the Saints offense just kept coming. You know, they turn over the ball, fine. Whether you score or not, that offense kept coming, but the 49ers D kept coming. They didn't lose momentum of that game. And, you know, they're going into this game, I think the 49ers are healthier. I think who's that? Giants secondary is still a little banged up. They're going to be at home. And once again, that coach, man, Harbaugh has that team on 10. He has some guys playing and playing hard. And he has some guys believing in themselves and believing in their teammates that they can go to the Super Bowl and win it. So with this, I'm going to ride the 49ers all the way to the Super Bowl. I like the way they played this weekend. And I am a firm believer that defense wins the championships.
All right. K-Star? K-Star? Did we lose K-Star? K-Star? Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He must have dropped and had to call back in. Hold on. K-Star.
Yo, you hear me?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we dropped you, I guess. Huh? All right. Predictions, 49ers hosting the Giants. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Giants. You know, to the hot hand, I trust Eli Manning where Alex Smith-Yawks played. Smith played out his mind last weekend. But there was a point in which, as we all know, that offense completely bogged down. I don't foresee the Giants turning over five times. Although, you know, I mean, it's possible that defense is very ferocious, but at the end of the day, I got to go with, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, and Eli Manning on that ferocious defensive line against the Niners. Although, it's gonna be a tough game regardless. At the end of the day, it's going to be a very close game, probably decided by turnovers, but I expect Eli Manning to play better football than Alex Smith, and I'm going to have to go with the Giants in this situation. They've done this before.
All right. Let's go to the AFC now, and let's talk about the end of Tebow time. And, you know, I think we all picked my pick. This is the only game I got right, be honest with you. Yeah, we all picked the Pats. The other three games I blew. But Brady just seemed to me to be on a mission. He really, I mean, he said all the right things during the week. But during this game, it just seemed to me, and I don't know, one of you guys correct me if I'm wrong, let K-Star start off with this, but did it not seem that Brady just, that the impression was, I've had enough of this Tebow talk. Do you guys, you know, it's kind of like Roy Jones Jr. I wish I had it queued up. He did a rap album, and, you know, he should stick to boxing, but he did a rap album. And the only decent song on there was a song called Y'all Must Have Forgot. And it was kind of like, you know, well, damn, did y'all not remember how many people I done knocked out and who the heck I am up in here? And to me, this is what Brady's saying, like, all this Tebow talk, Tebow, 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 Tebow. Wait a minute. I am Tom Brady. I have 3 Super Bowl rings. I've been MVP. I took our team on an 18-game winning streak. Like, what is all this talk about Tim you know what? That's okay. That's all right. Let's just go out on the field. Because I listened to the Madden voice, and all feuds are settled on the field. And I think he settled it on the field. K-Star, did you get that impression, or am I bugging?
No, he's not bugging at all. We actually, he had the same vibe to him when they played earlier this year against the Broncos with this whole team of Mania Madness. But this time, I think it's for a different reason. You know, the Patriots, you know, have been 3-8 out now, 3 consecutive years, I believe. Maybe it was 2. But Tom Brady, I feel like he just, you know, as all great ones do, has that, you know, that mindset that, you know, he's to prove himself. And in this situation, I feel like he needs to prove himself again, kind of reaffirm his greatness to all of us that he's truly one of the top 2 quarterbacks of all time. And for him to do so, you know, to him, he has to win another championship. And I just think this man is ready to play. When you combine that with Tebow mania and just the ferociousness of Tom Brady in the playoffs, we saw a perfect recipe, a perfect storm, come over the Broncos and just smack them in the face with Hadoukens. And, you know, Tom Brady just, you know, was Tom Brady. Tom terrific as we remember him throughout his whole playoff illustrious career. So, yeah, absolutely. He was just a whole nother level, pretty demonstrative. He was just very, he was up there to prove a point. I think it was pretty apparent to all of us. He was extra juice, but, again, I don't think it was just because of
Tebow
mania. I think it was also because, hey, he just wants to reaffirm his greatness to everyone.
Now, Train, you know, do you think – I mean, we also saw the – and you being a student of the defense, you being the defensive guru, we saw the Patriots defense who, dare I say, ranked last, 32nd in the league, play like we hadn't seen them play since Belichick had players like named Brewski and, you know, Seymour and, you know, who's the safety there that's a commentator now?
I know you're talking about Steve.
Rodney Harrison. Yeah. We haven't seen this defense play since he's had guys that we could name. I can't name 3 players on their defense, not be honest with you. And yet he put a scheme together that no one has been able to do to stop Tim Tebow. Talk to us about that. What'd you see out there?
I think that first game that they played during the regular season, that if the Broncos could go and change their schedule, they would not play the Patriots during the regular season because Belichick took a ton from that game. I mean, when that game first opened up during the regular season, they were running all over the Patriots. And, you know, slowly as it got into the, you know, when the score would get out of hand, you know, they couldn't really run the ball anymore, and they were forced to pass. You know, the Patriots ended up winning the game. But this game, there was none of that. McGahee couldn't find a hole. Tebow couldn't find a hole. I mean, dude put together a picture-perfect scheme. On top of your offense constantly delivering every time they hit the field, I mean, it just got out of hand with every score. With every score. And, I mean, this dude had tight ends. His tight ends, he's got to be the best tight end duo in the league, period. Because this is, you got one in the backfield, and then you got one on the line. This dude is playing running back. He's a tight end, and he's coming out of the backfield playing running back. Get
that
more
would
carries
be
in the law firm.
That would Hernandez. Be Aaron Hernandez from Bristol, Connecticut.
Yeah.
Thank you. Got to give a shout-out to the local boy. Shout-out to Bristol, Connecticut, Aaron Hernandez. Go ahead.
Representing Bristol, Connecticut.
Bristol, Connecticut.
Coming out the backfield. Got more carries than any of the other running backs. And he was killing them with it.
And where's he from again?
Bristol, Connecticut. Bristol.
I just had to let the crowd get their little acknowledgement. Go ahead.
But, dude, that defense, I think they also had one of the defenses, even though they were ranked in the bottom during the season for yards, they were, I think, in the middle of the pack for turnovers. But this game, it was more than just the turnovers. I mean, they wasn't letting them get a yard. They were not about to let them run up and down the field at all. They kept Tebow inside the pocket, and he couldn't, to me, dude, like he was afraid to pull it. I mean, there were some times where he might have had a little bit of time to let the ball go. The minute he saw somebody coming, he folded. He brought it down and folded and tried to run, and there was no hole. The minute he saw anybody in his face. So, man, They took what they saw from the regular season, even though they still whooped on the Broncos in the regular season, but they took the game that they had in the regular season, and they just enhanced their defense from that game. It's like, you ran on us, you won't run on us this time, and we'll add it on to the fact that you can't pass anyway, but we're going to put even more pressure on you. And they destroyed them, man. It was beautiful.
Now this makes me think of a question for K-Star. But before I ask this question, I must play this clip one last time. I must play this. Yeah. Have to play this.
All right. Obviously, Steelers won with this game. They're on defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than what it was against San Francisco, which is definitely good news. But while we lost Mendenhall, Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us, I just don't see how, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against their one defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harris, Lamar Woodley, they're coming for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this Sunday.
Now, the reason I played it was really not the another jab at.
You really have a reason?
I really did, actually. That could have been your prediction for the Patriots, because pretty much everything you said came true against the Patriots. Really?
Yeah, it really
so,
did.
So I have to ask you, how did and I'm not I would ask it would be a general conversation, but since you're the Steeler person here, it must be like that's the team you thought you would see against the Steelers right there. I mean, you had to be sitting there saying, "What the hell?" I mean, did you go back and ask yourself, what happened a week ago? Because that's the team I know, not the team that showed up last week.
Literally the entire game, I was just asking myself that same question. Like, what is this? What is going on? Like, this is what I expected to see from, the Steelers Broncos game. I think a lot of it had to do with, the Broncos being on the road in a hostile environment, which, again, totally agree that the Steelers should have been home in 12-4 and 8-8. I don't know. I really don't explain. The Patriots had a much better game plan offensively and defensively than the Steelers staff did, which, again, for the defensive coordinator, the Steelers, Dick LeBeau, to put it in a poor game plan and how it adjusts, I still can't really fathom or get over that. But, the Patriots had a better game plan. We saw with the Broncos who they really are. And, it was just a beatdown. It was just an old-fashioned, we're way better than you. We're going to, curb stomp you out. And that's what happened.
Now, I'm going to stick with you for a minute, K-Star. John Elway was quoted as saying that, we're going to work with Tim Tebow, and Tim Tebow is their starter going into training camp, was his exact words. And he caught some slack because he didn't just come out and just say, he's our starter. And so, clearly, he's leaving the door open to wiggle out of that, if Tebow doesn't develop to the point where they – want him to, or and it'll be interesting to see what the Broncos do in the off season. Now the guy was 8-5, and I believe 14 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. beat your Steelers in the playoffs, a game that really no one gave him a chance to do, took his team to the division title. Should he just be the starter next year, period? Or do you think that Elway is justified in leaving the door open to see who else might be out there to compete?
You would think that he earned his stripes as a starter because, again, that team was 1-4. Now, we know that the team played much better when he became the quarterback, but the fact of the matter is that team was 1-4 before he himself was injected in that lineup. And they actually lost Brandon Lloyd after making him the starter, which, you know, again, they drained the talent pool a little bit around him. And they won. They won a lot of games, and honestly, they didn't expect that to happen. That's what really has John Elway in this kind of situation. For them to win the division, and then on top of that, you know, beat the Steelers in the playoffs, like, they didn't have any of this. They didn't expect any of this to happen. So the thing with John Elway is I just don't think that he likes Tim Tebow as a player or as a quarterback because he's unconventional. And John Elway wants to see the next John Elway. He wants, you know, a conventional style pro offense quarterback, which Tim Tebow is not. But at the end of the day, he proved that, you know, he can win with the style. That they can run the option, be successful. They can, you know, work around Tim Tebow's strength. That he can run the ball a lot with quarterback draws, sweeps, all kinds of stuff. The zone read especially has been completely effective. So for him to kind of say, you know, he can start for training camp, that doesn't really do anything for Tim Tebow because, you know, Tim Tebow was really the star for training camp going into last year, and we all saw what happened. So it's unfortunate for Tebow, really, because it's almost like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. Even no matter the team success that happened, you know, around the Tim Tebow era, if you will, in Denver this year, it really almost played zero impact on his future there, which is kind of sad. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're trying to do this for an organization. And John Elway wants a particular quarterback, then, you know, he has the right to go out and do that. But I just hope they don't string along Tim Tebow in this process because he proved himself this year. There's no question about it that he proved himself.
Train, what do you think? What are your thoughts? Do you think he's done enough where he should just be the starter? Or, you know, is John Elway justified to say, well, you know, at the beginning of training camp, implying he's leaving the door open?
Tim Tebow has proven himself to be a winner. He has proven himself that people can rally around him and that he can, you know, that he won't quit on any game. But I don't blame John Elway for leaving the door. I mean, in this league, you got to be able to pass the ball. You can't get away with just that option, not in the playoff. Defenses are faster. They're faster than they were back in the day. They're faster. They scheme harder. Once they get you on film, that's it. You know, if they play you twice, then you're really in trouble. So, I mean, unless Tebow can get better at passing the ball, then I think you have to leave it open to a quarterback that can, you know, be mobile and can also pass the ball. You have to be able to pass the ball. And see, you just can't get away with just running the option. They try, and it got them just that far. But now everybody has seen what he's able to do. If he can come out next year and be able to complete at least over 50% of his passes, just over 50, that would be awesome. Then you would have your complete quarterback. But until then, I don't blame John Elway. He knows how he won two championships. You know, he was a quarterback, so he understands what it takes to be a quarterback in this league. Evidently, he doesn't think that Tebow has it all. Can he get it all? Yes. But until then, you leave it open for competition. I mean, he is the starter going in, and if no one comes in that does better, he will be the man. But at the same time, you're looking for Tebow to improve. You're not looking for the same dude that you brought out this season. You're looking for this guy to be able to throw the ball. And if he can't, then you're going to find somebody that can throw the ball.
My whole thing with this, though, is that this disappoints me, is that he has shown improvement, you know, through the course of the season and getting better in games and, you know, showing that he can throw the deep ball really, really well. And, you know, he's shown improvement. Like, that's happened through the season. They've won many games. It's not like this team was a Super Bowl favorite, you know, going into this year. Like, what the hell? What more does he need to do to prove himself as the starter of that football team? I don't understand it because, again, they traded away Brandon Lloyd. They basically put people in a horrific circumstance, but the team rallied around him, you know, and while his staff weren't great.
And wait a minute, and what did he do, K-Star?
I don't want to talk about it.
No, in general.
He won football games.
All right, hold that thought.
This kid is a gamer. He's a baller. He's a playmaker and a shot caller.
In case you didn't know,
I got Tebow. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is win games.
Listen.
I got Tebow. He shattered the mold. And all he does is win. All he does is unleash.
Tell Tebow.
Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him
play. On Sunday.
Unleash.
Tell Tebow. Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play.
I'm going to church Sunday.
Run, pass, option. I think that's my game.
I guarantee you that.
I'm no Don Elway.
He's rewriting the book.
Week in and week out.
He's a unique football player.
That's what Tim Tebow's all about.
He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot caller. He's a gamer. He's a baller. Playmaker. Shot caller. Unleash
Tim Tebow. Let him go.
It's time.
Turn him loose.
Let him play. Let him play.
On Sunday.
And all he does is win. All he does is win.
One more day. One more win.
All he does is win games.
That's awesome. Skip Bayless. You know what? Skip Bayless is right, though. Like, this gets Tim Tebow bandwagon, while it was bordering ridiculous for a lot of the points. No, he had a point, though. The man, he did win a lot of games. And, again, they drained the talent pool at 104, but got results on putting in this quarterback who apparently couldn't play, you know, quarterback in the National Football League. So, again, like, my whole concern is while they're winning games and he was improving, he's still not committing to them. So, it's just... You know, if anything, I hope Tim Tebow finds a new home because.
Well, let me add one piece to this, and I'm gonna agree with K-Star on this one. Well, I'm not gonna agree that the Skip Tebow thing it was ridiculous, but I get his point, but it was so ridiculous. But I did like the song. But the other thing that neither one of you mentioned is we didn't have an off season. We didn't have a training camp, OTAs, nothing. So and I know everybody didn't have that. But this is a guy who was starting his second year in the NFL. And we complain. We've all said he can't throw passes. You're right. But he lost a complete offseason to develop his game. And with that, after the team started 1-4, then gets the starting job with not a lot of preparation. If you recall, he was at one point, according to Skip Bayless, he was fourth string, but definitely started the season as the third string quarterback. So he wasn't getting any reps in practice. And then after, you know, they go through the first two quarterbacks, now it's like, okay, well, we got nothing to lose, not to mention, you know, I think the fan base was about to lynch these guys if they didn't put Tebow in there. And then the guy actually does win. Now, I agree with Train. I mean, he's got to show improvement. He has to keep working on his game. But I, from what I'm hearing, he's a very hard worker. I don't think that's going to be a challenge. To me, you lose more by leaving the door open than you would gain by just saying he's our starter. Because you can come back next year at some point and say, we need to make a move here based on this, and this. But why not let the guy go into the offseason? The guy won you the division, took you to a playoff game, got a win. Why not just go into the offseason and say, he's our quarterback? And rest the issue. The issue is dead now. He's our quarterback. Give him all the resources that John Elway would have gotten in this situation. Give him all the help, all the training, all the tutelage, everything. And just say, he's our guy. And if you go in the preseason and he's stinking it up in preseason, as any team would do at that time, if their starting quarterback showed he wasn't doing the job, then you handle it at that time. But we're talking August of next year. So we're now – or this year, I'm sorry. So we're talking 7 months from now. So give the guy the job. He has earned the right – and I'm big in the loyalty. I understand it's a business. But at the end of the day, he has earned the right to be named the starter for next year. And it should be his job to lose, not now you still got to prove something to me. I think he proved it. I think he proved it because you guys were playing in January where teams like the Cowboys and the Bears, Unfortunately, we're not. So give the guy the damn job. This is my opinion.
Yeah, and again, it's not like they had any expectation going into the season anyway. Who had the Broncos winning the division? I didn't read
Nobody.
That anywhere.
Nobody.
I didn't read that anywhere. So
people had the Raiders, and people
yeah.
had
As
the Chargers, because the Chargers are the sexy pick every year. No one
yeah,
had the
so
Broncos like, winning that division.
Exactly. So it's like almost like John Elway. Like, who are you? I mean, we know who you are, but like, who are you to sit here and not commit to him? Because what more do you really want from this young kid? Like,
you already said it. But you already said what it is. He's won two Super Bowls. Both said it. He's won two Super Bowls. He's looking for the prototypical. He's looking for Ben.
Yeah.
Ben Roethlisberger, who was a huge John Elway fan, as I'm sure you know. That's who he's looking for. That's what he wants. He doesn't want this guy who plays the game very differently. That's not what he wants. He wants a him. He wants a franchise quarterback that is going to throw 65%, 4,500 yards, you know, 100 quarterback rating. That's what he wants.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, if anything else, like, get rid of him with him. You know, let him go elsewhere because it's not really fair to his growth as a player to always be under the scrutiny. Like, he's under a microscope, and if we're good and bad, either he gets too much credit or he gets way too much blame. He's under – it's a week-to-week evaluation, Tim Tebow. I've never seen one in the NFL of a quarterback, especially in the second year, of just horrible either backlash or just godly amount of praise. It's just – I've never really seen before. And, again, John Elway's not making it any better. And if anything else, those fans, if they were to not make Tim Tebow a starter opening the regular season, I really just – I don't know how the fans would react. I know they would be extremely upset. Pissed off, and for good reason, because as you said, we know he's going to work hard at it. You know, he has that work ethic. He's going to get better. We saw him get better through the course of the season. Now with OTAs, offseason, actually kind of work with John Elway, he's going to continue to improve. It's just that's a patient. I don't know what people really want from him. It just seems like either you love him or you hate him, man. There's no in-between, and there's no real objectivity about it. It's just I don't understand it.
Well, I think the only way that should change if we'll talk about Peyton Manning a little bit later, but you know, if he can pull off a trade and go get Peyton Manning from the Colts,
right,
then
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, well,
wow.
Okay, Tim. You're back on the bench, bro.
Yeah. That's many stars in the league. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. All right, so the last game of the divisional round saw a pretty good game, very defensive-minded game, and I think the Texans played better than people expected. I think a lot of people, you know, with quarterback Yates and with Mario Williams not being out and not really sure the health of Foster, Tate, and Andre Johnson, you don't know. And they battled. They really battled those Ravens, and it was a defensive battle. But, you know, I got two words for you, man. Ed Reed. I mean, man, you know, no disrespect to Troy Polamalu. I think Troy Polamalu is a beast, but Ed Reed is still the man. I mean, oh, my God. The dude has
Can we not overreact, though? Hold on. All right, obviously I'm biased here whenever the Troy-Ed Reed discussion comes up. Can we not overreact? He was playing T.J. Gates. All right? Let's not get too precarious, but he was playing T.J. Gates. That's all I want to say. Now, go get on with your Ed Reed love fest. Go ahead.
I don't have any love for Ed Reed. I'm only reacting to what I saw. And, you know, I think the fact that, yeah, I mean, Yates made some questionable throws. There's no doubt about it. He's a rookie, you know. But he showed a lot of poise back there against a very aggressive Ravens defense. I mean, I'll be honest. There were some times in there I thought it was Matt. I forgot it wasn't Matt Shaw back there with the poise. What's that?
He made some nice throws.
He really did. And there was a few throws that I know he wishes he had back. There's no doubt about that, too. But, I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, 10 years, I mean, this guy's been playing safety for 10 years. And what he does what a safety should do. I love Troy. The problem I have with Troy, I think, and you know, I don't want to, you know, necessarily get you going. But if I do, then I do. Troy is the Romo of the defense. All right, and here's what I mean. He takes a lot of risks, but I don't think he gets held as accountable as Romo does on offense. I don't think Troy, you know, for instance, we talked about the play that lost the game in overtime. But, you know, I think your boy Troy, who roams around out there, he was nowhere to be found on that play either, and he is a safety. I'm just saying, he gets a lot of freedom to make his own decisions on where he goes, and sometimes he makes the right decision, and he makes a great play, and I love the guy. I love the way he plays, 100 miles an hour, but sometimes he doesn't necessarily make the right play, and he's not in the right position because he doesn't play a standardized, structured safety style of play. And then when I look at Ed Reed and I see the other side of that coin, I see another guy who plays on the same level but more of a standard, structured safety. And I got to give the guy credit. Those picks, you know, that he has, especially that last one. I think the first one was kind of easy, but that last pick was like, whoa, where'd he come from? I don't know, Trey, your defensive.
The thing with Troy is Troy's the only safety to have a whole scheme based around. Whenever Troy's out, we see the Steelers defense just completely plummet, and it's sad because there's so many great individual players in Steelers defense as a team. They're such a great unit. But without Troy Polamalu, our defense is utter trash. I don't know if you guys saw in 2009, the year after we won Super Bowl, we get the most points in four quarter on any defense. Our record was 2-6, I believe, without Troy, and the numbers were staggering. However, yes, Troy's getting a lot of freedom because, you know, again, the scheme is built around Troy's strengths, and it lets him do a lot of these things to, you know, get the most out of him. However, you know, with Ed Reed, what he's asked to do, it's very limited compared to what Troy's asked to do as far as the complexity. He more or less is just play center fielder, which he's phenomenal at.
Not a bad hitter either, might I say.
Let's be clear.
Troy wants to play that way. That's his style of play. Let's not put it on your defense that said, here's what we want you to know. That's the way he wants to play the game. And when he came out of college, Bill Parcells said, I can't coach a guy like that. He's too unpredictable. I need a guy that can follow the scheme. So that's the way he's always played. Let's be fair here, okay? And don't get me wrong. I think he's a great player. I'd take him on the Cowboys in a New York second. But he does have a style. It is a feast or famine style. If he, you know, when he comes in and just leaps over to try to catch the, you know, the quarterback at the snap, that's him. That's him timing that jump and making that decision. That's 100% on him. And when he does make the play, he's phenomenal. But there are times that he's out of position. There are times that, you know, he has missed some plays. And I think we see that less with Ed Reed because he is playing more of a scheme that's part of the defense. That's the way the Ravens have played. And him and Ray Lewis, and, I, you know, you got to give Suggs credit. But those two guys, I mean – you know, you go back to 2005 when they won the Super Bowl, and now we're in 2012. Those two guys might be the only two left from that defense, and they're still playing on that high level.
I'll just say this. I'll just end it with this. Troy Polamalu and his feast for famous style has feasted on two Super Bowl rings, one of which we saw Troy pick six the Ravens and AC Tyler game to get us there. Ed Reed actually hasn't won a Super Bowl ring yet. No, it's just Ray Lewis. But again, the safety coin do so much. But I will say, if Ed Reed does get burned, he does gamble, much like Troy.
Ed Reed wasn't on the Ravens in 2005?
No, 2000 they won Super Bowl.
Oh, it's 2000.
2005.
I thought it was 2005.
2005 was the Steelers. Yeah, 2005 the Steelers, and the 2008 the Steelers won. But, he doesn't really have
Now be the time over. That I talk about last year's Super Bowl and Troy Polamalu. Never mind. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Trey. I know you want to get in here.
Jesus. Yeah, you know, I'll let y'all get out of the Ed Reed Troy. I'm not going to get into an Ed Reed Troy Polamalu fight. I think they're both phenomenal safeties. I put them one and two. You can put them whatever order you would like. They play a little differently, but when the ball is in the air and it's in the vicinity of them, 10 yards north, south, east, or west, guaranteed your receiver or tight end is not getting that ball. With that said, I don't know how TJ Yates prepares for this game, but I don't know how you throw those passes knowing that Ed Reed is out there. Like, actually, the interception that he threw, the guy was not open. And not only was he not open, you threw it where Ed Reed was going to be every single time, as if you did not know this guy was a Pro Bowl safety.
as if you didn't know the type of plays that he made on the ball. Now, he, you know, for a minute I thought the Texans was going to get blown out. I did. I was like, wow. Turnover started to like the Ravens defense was on 10, which they stayed on 10 for the majority of the game, but the Texans defense also showed up, and it made it a much closer game than what it could have been. And I mean, but still, T.J. Yates definitely let out the rookie in him, and just a lot of them, and just the passes that he was throwing late in the game, he was trying to make plays. Not necessarily just so much late in the game, it's just spot here and spot there throughout the game. He made passes. It was like, dude, what are you doing? That Ed Reed's out there, along with another cornerback. I mean, you don't want to throw that ball. So, but I like the defensive battle in the game, and that's what pretty much kept the game close. But at the end of the day, it's pretty much the rookie quarterback that kind of killed it for the Texans. Had it been Matt Schaub, man, that game might have went a different way. You might have been 2-2 this week. Instead of 1-2. Yeah, I'm serious. You might have been 2-2 because once that Texans defense showed up, became a long day for the Ravens. It became a long
absolutely
day because they
and that's,
kept
that's right.
They
yep.
kept Torrey Smith. Yeah, they kept Torrey Smith from breaking up because I mean this was their deep threat. He came on late in the season. He was the deep threat guy. They kept that guy on lock. It was like, you will not kill us. You will not kill us with the deep threat. And I thought they did an awesome job. With that said, Wade Phillips, please stay a defensive coordinator. Don't try to be a coach.
No, he's already come out and said that he's going to stay a DC, and he's not. And that's where he needs to be. And you know, and you're right. Early in the game, I even posted on Twitter, what did I say? Something to the effect of,
I've seen this.
Because that was early on in the game. That's how it looked. It's like, okay, this is the defense I know. Yep, thank you, Wade. But they settled down, they buckled down, and they regrouped and they really made it a game. And you know, I take the opposite approach. I think T.J. Yates as a rookie who, you know, you got to remember, wasn't getting any snaps, okay? This is, you know, Matt Schaub is your quarterback. This guy's probably getting 5 snaps a week, you know, so, and no offseason again, as you know. And I think he played really good. I mean, you're right, there were throws, but that's what I expect. I expect that from a guy who's only played a few games, who hasn't really had the time during the season to really grasp the offense, to really, you know, I expect that. What I didn't expect was some of the good plays that he was made and the composure that he showed back there with the Ravens coming at you. I mean, we all know what these guys bring to the table. And he really, you know, I mean, he did throw a couple of bad plays, and you know, that's what happens when you're in that situation. And we expect that. But he also made some good plays. And I think that, after we make our predictions, I want to talk a little bit about some of the quarterback play. We've seen some of these young quarterbacks because – these guys may not be on these teams next year. You know, I mean, I don't know how these contracts are structured, but, you know, these guys, you know, they may be out looking for jobs. They may be talking to their agents talking about, shoot, I want to be a starter next year, you know. I jumped the gun. Let's talk about the AFC Championship game. The Ravens travel to Foxborough to play the Patriots. And I'm going to start off again. I said Patriots, Saints, with the Saints winning. Saints are out, so I'm going to go Patriots. And, you know, and I tell you, I picked the 49ers to win, and I think it would be a hell of a Super Bowl to see the Ravens and the 49ers. We saw them play on Thanksgiving, and to see the two brothers play each other. I really am not a huge fan. I think he's a great coach. I'm not a huge fan of the 49ers. I really don't – his personality just rubs me the wrong way, but he's a great coach. I like the other Harbaugh's personality, though. There is some subtle differences in the guys. And, you know, so I can get behind the Ravens winning, except I got Aaron Hernandez from Bristol, Connecticut. You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. I don't believe you heard me. I said Aaron Hernandez from Bristol, Connecticut. You know what I'm saying?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
You know what I'm saying? And I can't root against them now, especially the Cowboys aren't in it. The Saints aren't in it. That was my pick. I got to go ahead. I'm not on Brady's back. I don't want Brady to get more Super Bowls than Aikman, but I guess that's the way I'm going to end up rooting. So I got to go with the Pats. I think that it's going to be a great game. I really think that the Ravens defense is as good as advertised. But, you know, I think K-Star really hit on something earlier about the Patriots. I think Tom Brady got a little sick and tired of hearing about how Patriots haven't won a Super Bowl, postseason game since 07. And, you know, I think he got a little tired of hearing that. And I think he's going to be on another mission come Sunday. So I'm going with the Patriots. Train.
I'm going to stick with defense. I'm going to stick with defense with his championships, yes. I would have no problem seeing the Harbaugh Bowl because I really don't want to see the Patriots with another championship. So I'm going to go with the Ravens on this one, man. I think if they come in there with the mindset to get a whole lot of pressure on Tom Brady because you're not going to beat them trying to cover his receivers and his tight ends, no. You got to get the Tom Brady. So with that said, you know, they need to come in, Suggs, get pressure on Tom Brady. And offensively, we know that the New England Patriots can give up yards offensively. So, you know, it's a matter of what kind of game plan will they have for Torrey Smith because they couldn't get him involved this week. But, you know, that was the number one defense in the league. Well, not the number one defense, but they were top five ranked. That was one of the top five ranked defenses they were playing against. This time, it's not, you know. So, can they get Torrey Smith involved? I think so. And I think the Ravens can pull this out.
I will make one comment that you're right. The Patriots do give up a lot of yards, but they don't really give up. It's not equal to the points. Points, they're about middle of the league. And the reason I bring that up is we know what Tom Brady's capable as far as scoring points. I mean, the Ravens are still the Ravens, but we also know what Brady is capable of on the points thing. But I throw that out there just as food for thought. wait a minute. Where'd it go?
Your face, your ass. What's the difference?
I just wanted to play that. All right, K-Star, go ahead.
What did that say?
Oh, you want to hear it again? Wait a minute. Hold on.
Your face, your ass. What's the difference?
All right, that's the Howard Stern in me coming out. But go ahead, K-Star.
All right, I gotta go with the Patriots.
I wonder why. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, right. you know,
that should be obvious.
Being at home is a huge advantage for New England, obviously, that goes, you know, without being said. But Joe Flacco, I just refuse to believe that he's going to take the Ravens to the A's or to the Super Bowl. I can't. Fathom it. I don't want to have that be a reality. So, I'm rooting for the Patriots. I feel dirty about it, but as far as analytical input goes, it's Tom Brady. It's still Belichick. Yes, they give a lot of yards, but not a whole lot of points. They stifle the Broncos' run game. Hopefully, they stifle the Ravens' run game, which is a lot harder to do. But, again, you know, the adjustments the Patriots make are second to none, especially they have some adjustments. And, when you have to coach against Tom Brady or we have to coach against Bill Belichick and try to defend Tom Brady, that's just a lot of problems, more than solutions you can get there. So I got to go with the New England Patriots at home. Please, Tom Brady, take out Joe Flacco and the Ravens. I do not want to see them in my Super Bowl Sunday. I want to try and enjoy Super Bowl Sunday. I do not want to deal with the Ravens Super Bowl Sunday. I just don't want to.
As a Bears fan, I 100% understand your position.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Okay. I admit it. I picked the 49ers because I cannot have the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. I got to get excited. My Cowboys to get into the playoffs in the Super Bowl. I cannot sit there in 2.5 weeks and see the Giants play anybody on that Sunday with the chance of winning a Super Bowl on our behalf. On our behalf. I can't do it. Harbaugh, you got Alex Smith. Boy, I'm going to dig up my Joe Montana jersey. No, I'm sorry. No, I said it'd be my Ronnie Lott jersey. I'm going to go find my Ronnie Lott jersey. Okay, I'm going to put my Ronnie Lott jersey on Sunday, and I can't do it. And I know I'm in Connecticut, and I know I'm supposed to be a Giant fan because Connecticut is a Giant, you know, half Giants and half Patriots. I can't do it. I can't do it.
See Madden, see people who love the Madden voice. Y'all hear here. We are fans first.
Nope, no,
and
we're
second.
By the way, I can't have the Niners win either. I mean, I know I picked the Giants and for football reasons I did, but I can't have the Niners win either because then they'll have just as many Super Bowls. If they win the Super Bowl, then the Steelers do. They'll have six just like the Steelers. So it's like, no, can't have that. Can't have that at all. So,
Giants-Patriots
rematch.
But here's the situation. So you have to, and you have to weigh the lesser of all evils because if the Niners – and they go in and play the Patriots, and the Patriots win, we're good. Because now the Patriots just pick up their fourth, okay? And I'm not a keen fan of that because now Brady's got four and Aikman's got three and rubs me the wrong way. But you know what? Cowboys are still sitting at five with the 49ers. And now here's the other thing. The Steelers and the Cowboys also have eight appearances, and no other teams even have eight. So, I mean – you know, we can still work this and keep our loyalties, man. We can work this, okay? Work with it.
Fine.
All right, we've got some time left, and there was a few other topics that I wanted to kind of discuss, and we've made our predictions, and then next week we will be we'll talk about these games and then make our Super Bowl prediction, and you know, depending on the number of topics that come up, we might do a smaller show next week simply because there just isn't as many games and as many things to talk about, and so we might actually only need maybe an hour or an hour and 15 minutes next week because, you know, we're pretty much going to be talking about two games and then making our Super Bowl predictions, so, you know, unless something drastic happens. But, you know, there were a lot of news about the Jets. There's a lot of news about players talking about Sanchez. We certainly heard players talking about Holmes. We addressed that. And it just looks like the Jets are imploding. And, you know, I have to say this, and then I'll let you guys jump in here, but this feels so much to me like the Dallas Cowboys of 3 years ago. And, you know, the one thing that I hate, and I understand it, but I hate it, is when they use the term sources. And I understand it. Okay, no one has to jump on the call. Don't call me and explain why. I understand why they can't name their sources. But to me, it also gives them a license to lie and manipulate and exaggerate. Because then you just go back and say, well, that's what my sources say. And I will always say this, and people will disagree with me, but T.O. did not run himself out of Dallas. ESPN and Ed Werder ran T.O. out of Dallas. He was the single person who always had the inside scoop on what was going on in Valley Ranch and the things that he accused T.O. of. And at some point it became because Tom Landry, yeah, rest in peace. Jerry Jones had just given T.O. a contract extension. So he had no intentions on letting him go. But the pressure from the media and all the stuff that they were saying mounted, and he had no choice. He had to respond. And I think now we're watching the Jets imploding. And where's all this coming from? ESPN, NFL Network, all of these sports stations that have these insiders that say they know things, and we don't know. Now, maybe it's 100% accurate. Maybe it is, but we don't know. And these things, I mean, these are people's jobs. These are people's careers. And I just wish that these ESPNs of the world and all of the wannabe ESPNs would really think twice about what they report. And I think they should be held to some sort of journalistic accuracy. And I'm just not for the whole sources. I get why they do it, But, you know, I don't think that they all use it properly. I think some of them lie and exaggerate. Why? Because it's ratings. It brings ratings to their network. So that's my take on it. K-Star, any thoughts?
The Jets are awesome. The reason why is because they're just entertaining. That's just an entertaining bunch. Even when their shit completely goes down, they have a lot of fun watching because of all the aftermath and all that stuff that's come with it. I don't know. You know, the unnamed sources, at the end of the day, we call it journalistic integrity. But also, you know, if the sources wanted to remain anonymous, they have to respect that and, you know, not name their sources because, hey, it's a hard journalism. That's really what it's about. You can't, you know, unveil your sources. But at the same time, I understand what you're saying because, hey, this could be all bullshit or, you know, it could be fake. No one knows. Like, if you can't hold a name accountable or anyone accountable for what they said, then, you know, you can get all kinds of stories. People can run away with this. However, I do believe it because, hey, man, the Jets talk a lot. They had obviously some issues throughout the whole season with, you know, this Antonio Holmes thing and it resurfaced at the end of the year and come out with some players quit, some didn't, and this whole Mark Sanchez, I believe it, you know. But, you know, the Jets are an ongoing soap opera. Rex Ryan is great for New York because even in misery, they're still selling newspapers and all kinds of stuff with the Jets stuff all over it. But, they're entertaining. So, of course, as a Steelers fan, it's not my team, so I don't care about it. I just think it's hilarious. Meanwhile, Jets fans are agonized over this. But this is awesome. I hope they keep this up.
Okay. Trey, any thoughts?
Man, I know this is, like, not on topic, but just real quick. I just ran across an article where Davis said that Singletary taught me a lot. Did y'all see that before we did this show?
No, I didn't see it.
No. Well, it's out there, but I'm gonna go back to the question. I just saw it, and I was just like, we all just agreed that that happened. Yeah, but
in other words, we're good is what you're trying to
we're
say.
We're good.
That's
we're
really
good.
What you're trying
we're
to say.
Good. Yeah, and that okay. Is off the chain.
Really, really good, in case you didn't know, it's by the round of applause.
Yeah, I think we're really, really good for that one.
Hey, I mean, I just had to give us some credit because I think we're good, too, actually. I mean, All right, you're up, Frank.
All right. That was awesome.
But, man, when I first saw it, I was just like, I first read, you know, the whole headline about, you know, anonymous players said such and such. I was just like, man, really? Do y'all really want to, like, open that bag of apples? Are the players really talking behind each other's back like that and it gets out to the media? And then I think I saw one clip maybe on ESPN where you know, they said the same thing that you guys brought up. Is this really true? Since it's anonymous and since it's from sources, is it really true? Man, yeah, at the end of the day, you know, only the players know, and it is really up for fans to decipher whether you want to listen to that crap. You know, I've always thought the Jets were a well-knit team. Yeah, they talk a lot of trash. And yeah, sometimes they end up eating their words, but that's just their MO. It's just, you know, they follow the image of their coach. And whether they get it done or don't get it done, you know, they definitely eat their sandwiches, good or bad. So,
Trey, let me ask you a question,
yeah.
Okay? I mean, I want your opinion on this, and I mean this. No bullshit, I mean this. You're on a team. Okay, and I'm asking you because you and I have experienced some things being part of EAFL, and so I know your philosophy on team, okay? Not that K-Star doesn't have that philosophy, I'm sure he does too, but I know yours. So you're on a team, okay, and you have these feelings about a teammate. Why go to the press and say something bad about your team? team and then not be able to not man up and just say, yeah, I said it, you know, because I'm pissed off. If you have these feelings, what are you, what is your motivation to go to an Ed Werder or a Jeremy Schapp or whoever and say these things? Why? I don't understand. You are a professional athlete getting paid millions and millions of dollars. You're upset about something. Why not go sit down with the coach, the GM, the owner, and say, here's what I saw. Here's what I don't like. And I think you need this information because next year I don't want to be 8-8 and out of the playoffs. And I think here's what I'm seeing, and I'm sharing this with you, and I hope you know, you plan to do something about it. What do people expect to get by going to the press?
I don't understand it myself. I mean, let's just say it is true. When I first saw it, and it was like an anonymous, a player says anonymous. And the first thing I'm thinking, like, really? You got all this to say after your season is over. So you mean during the whole season that you think Sanchez is being lazy in practice, you couldn't go to somebody? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, teams are like the offense, the offense, the defense, the defense, special teams, the special team. You know, each one of them deal with each other. So you couldn't sometime during the season go to somebody that was on the offense and say, hey, man, you know, Sanchez looking a little lazy in practice. Can y'all do something about that? You know, just somebody on the offensive side, because it maybe it's easier for him to hear it from another offensive player, you know. But for it to just come out in the media like it's out of nowhere, it's like, really? You going to say all this after y'all done had a bad season? Man, y'all played bad at some games as a unit. Not all because Sanchez had bad games and he couldn't get it done at quarterback. Y'all couldn't get it done as a team. So all of a sudden you want to start talking all this trash about him after the season is over with? That just makes a lot of sense. And it's obvious that this person, who, if it is true that, you know, day-to-day, they don't want to lose their job. they don't want to get out because they probably will, you know. It's silliness. It's no different than a relationship between man and woman, and no different between family problems. Man, you keep it in house. A happy couple looks like a happy couple because nobody knows what's going on inside that couple.
Yeah, and you know, and it makes me think of the story that Michael Irvin told about when he joined the Cowboys, and he said that there were a lot of players that were just there to get their paycheck, and they didn't work hard. And when he would speak up, they would get on him about, look, man, you need to keep your mouth shut, man. You know, this team sucks. We're not going anywhere. So just get your pay and just don't worry about it. And Irvin wrote down the name of every player that acted that way. And then guess who became the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Jimmy Johnson. Now, we know, because we know now what Jimmy did, Jimmy don't play that. What did Michael Irvin do? This never hit the press. This was never reported on ESPN. This was never in the Dallas-Fort Worth papers. It never, ever hit the press. He talks about it now, but back when he was with the Cowboys, never, ever said a word about it. But what he did, he went into Jimmy Johnson's office. He sat down with him, and he said, Jimmy, I need to explain something to you, and these are the players that had this attitude. And every single one of those players were cut, every one of them.
Wow. You know, it's funny that you mentioned Mike Irvin because when I was watching NFL Network and they posed this question to the player analyst, Irvin, Sapp, and each one of them said, you know, we've never, I don't really understand it. We've never had this happen. We've never had a player, you know, anonymously go to the media and just say stuff. Or either their teams, just during their whole career, they said they've never had it happen. And when you think back on their careers, you've never seen it happen on any team that they played on.
Right.
They said it's all in-house, and every team goes through someone. You know, they're not the only ones. And most of those teams keep it in-house. But something happened in New York this year, you know, just – I don't know what. Obviously, they lost games. That's, you know, pretty apparent. But it's almost like, again, they lost that tightness that we thought they had. And Rex Ryan even said himself they didn't feel quite as close this year. He noticed that almost a disconnect in the locker room. And obviously, a lot of that falls on him because he's the head coach. You know, he's the pulse of that team. But I don't. It's very entertaining for us, not being, you know, for us non-Jet fans, but it's very bad. You know, that's very bad news for that team and that locker room.
You know,
it's true.
And I'll say this though. One of the things that I think we need to keep our eyes on is Rex Ryan's future in New York, because, you know, again, I can only go, you know, the team that I know the best is the Cowboys. And, you know, when Jimmy Johnson stepped down, popular wisdom said that it was Jerry Jones that went to Jimmy Johnson and said, you know, you need to go. And the reality is that was not the case. Jimmy Johnson went to Jerry Jones and said, I've done all I can with this team. I've gotten everything out of them that I can. It's time for me to move on and do something else. And, you know, Jerry Jones said, okay. And the reason is because of Jimmy Johnson's style, a very no-nonsense, very, you know, it's a very, you know, don't mess with me style. This is my team. You don't like it, you can hit the road. And he had that style for, I believe he coached the Cowboys for 5 years, won 2 Super Bowls. Now, he knew at that last year that they won how hard it was to keep that team focused, keep everybody on the same page, and to win that Super Bowl. And he said, I can't do this another year with these guys. They're not going to keep responding to me. We're going to implode. It's time they bring somebody else in. And Jerry Jones went and got Barry Switzer, who was the direct opposite, more of a player's coach, not a disciplinarian. And he luckily managed to win one more, although that's still, they just give that ring to Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, Barry Switzer didn't do nothing to earn that. And I think we're seeing similar things there. I think that his style is starting to run a little old now with these guys. You know, I guarantee a Super Bowl, and I think it's about him. And in the beginning, it's like, okay, yeah, he's taking the pressure off of us. But now it's more like maybe they're looking at it like maybe not so much he's taking the pressure off us. He wants the attention. He wants the limelight. He wants to make it about him. And I truly think that it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. I don't think he's going to get fired or anything, but I think this is what happens when teams start to unravel, and you got to go to the head coach because, you know, you're in Indianapolis. We didn't see this with a Tony Dungy-led team. We haven't seen this with, you know, I don't believe we've seen this with a Lovie Smith-led team. You know, there are teams with coaches that you just don't hear these things from. And yet this guy, with all the pomp and circumstances and the tutelage and Buddy Ryan and his brother Rob and all this, and we're hearing all this rumbling out of them. And when do we hear it? When they don't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we really got to watch this as this unfolds throughout the offseason. I don't think he's going to get fired, and I think he's going to quit. But I do believe if they don't perform well next year and get deep into the playoffs or maybe into the Super Bowl, he's gone. He's done. You heard it here.
I'll just add one more thing, and it's pretty much kind of about the Bears, but almost a similar situation. It was kept in-house, but it was found out later after Mike Marsh was gone. I think Desmond Clark was the tight end, was one of the tight ends when Mike Marsh first came there. He's like, the 2 years that Marsh was there, there was a lot of in-house bickering between, you know, Marsh, GM, and Lovie. Even, you know, he put out on the radio, and he said it himself, it was not a comfortable place to work.
Hmm.
You know, he said Marsh was a good coach, but he said he strung you along. He was like, you know, you're doing good, and you think you're going to play, but then you don't play. I was just like, wow.
Hmm.
But this was all kept in-house until, you know, after the fact.
But that's because because we want winners, right? That's what we
want. No.
Right?
You don't want me to go much further. Go right ahead. Ask your question. Vernon, just it was something that I told everybody at the very beginning of the week. I will not tolerate players that think it's about them when it's about the team. And we cannot make decisions that cost the team. And then come off the sideline and it's nonchalant. No. You know what? This is how I believe, okay? I'm from the old school. I believe this. I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with
not
them.
Coach
can't
them.
Do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
I love that. I love that rant. We got to play that. We got to play that more often. I love that one. All right.
Awesome.
All right. Quickly, Jeff Fisher takes the Rams job. What do you guys think? I think it was a good move. I think you know, he's got a franchise quarterback. He's got a franchise running back. They've got some pieces on defense. They've got, you know, they have some pieces. They have the bases. It's gonna, you know, it's a rebuilding. It's gonna be, it's gonna, you know, they but I don't expect them to come and be the 49ers of last year to this year. I don't expect that at all. But we've seen the difference, you know. I mean, having a franchise quarterback is a pretty big deal. And although we did have some rookies play good this year, but over the course of the NFL, it's important to have a quarterback that you can say, we know. And we know Bradford, that's their quarterback. That's it. So, and they got Steven Jackson, and, you know, he's got to stay healthy, but he's an all-world running back, and, you know. So they have some pieces. I think it's a good decision. What do you guys think? Train, what do you think?
I think it was a no-brainer, man. You got to go with the team with the that's got the more established quarterback and running back on top of that.
Right.
I mean, you do have Brandon Lloyd. I'm not sure if, you know, if they're going to come down another year, but that's a veteran receiver. And they do have some pieces on defense. Like, their defense showed up every blue moon this season. You know, they actually play well. I mean, they beat the Saints. I think it was a no-brainer for them to take that job. But at the same time, I'm kind of interested to see, you know, how he does at coaching after the whole debacle at Tennessee. You know, there was a lot of blame shifted when he was at the Titans. You know, at one side, it was, you know, it was Young. Young wasn't acting right. He was acting immature. And at the other end, it was like, well, you know, Fisher isn't showing any faith in him. You know, even after he won games, Fisher isn't showing any faith in him. So, I would like to see how he does after the way it ended in Tennessee. I would like to see how he does at with the Rams.
Yeah, but I don't think. I mean, the guy had. I mean, he was still very sought after, and both the Rams and the Dolphins wanted him badly. We've seen that, you know, Vince Young now is relegated to a bat. He's not even a starter in the league now. It's not like he's not like.
Sure, too.
Yeah, and still immature, right? I mean, it's not like – I mean, I get where you're going, and there's some intrigue there, but I don't think it's – I don't know how much, because it's not like Vince Young, after Fisher left, became, you know, Tim Tebow. but, you know, became Michael Vick. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If he had become like, oh, my God, then I'd say, wow. Then I think the question would be, okay, did this guy have the handcuffs on him? You know, I mean, you know, their relationship, because now look at this guy. He hadn't done anything. You know, and he was very sought after. But I think what'll be intriguing is, you know, you coach the Tennessee Titans. Now you're taking a Rams team who's a dome team. And, you know, that's very different when you know you got 8 games in a dome every year versus playing outside in Tennessee. And granted, the weather isn't as bad as Green Bay or New England, but you still, you know, you're playing on grass. It's still a different team. I think it's actually going to be a good thing. You know, I think it's like we've seen what dome teams can do, you know. I think it's going to be like, okay, you know, as Skip Bayless would say, unleash, you know, these Rams could
– unleash.
We could be back to the greatest show on turf, you know, in the next couple of years. But we'll see.
What side of the ball is Jeff Fisher as far as coaching? You know, some coaches
defense.
Okay.
Defense, definitely.
Okay,
defense.
I never could figure that out. You know.
Yeah, no, definitely a defensive coach. Yeah, definitely
okay.
A defensive coach. Any thoughts on this one, K-Star?
I think it's a very good, you know, hire for the Rams. Honestly, I think Fisher went to the best place for him. Established quarterback, and actually has more control with the GM situation there than he did in Miami, from what I you know understood or whatever. So, you know, it's a good move for him. You know, he's got some establishment there. He's got an awesome pick in the draft. I think it's second overall. So, hey, you know, he's got a lot of stuff to play with, a lot of toys to, you know,
get everything ready there. So I think it's a good hire, and I'm sure it'll work out for him again. When you have a good quarterback and a good running game, pieces will fall in place.
All right. Reports out of Indianapolis are saying that it's virtually a lock that the Colts are going to take Andrew Luck with the first pick. And the question now, we say, and I've already come on record, and I've said that Peyton Manning will not get $28 million on March, whatever date it is. He may be with the team, but they will not pay him $28 million. It's not going to happen. I'm on record saying that. But that said, K-Star, you being right there in Indianapolis, any insight, local scuttlebutt on, you know, I know Irsay is, I think this is pretty much going to be his decision with Peyton on what they do. But I just want to say real quick, it seems that where we were a month ago, where there was no doubt that Peyton Manning would be back, assuming he's healthy, I don't get that feeling now when I hear the reports now. You know, like it seems the reports are sources say that it's pretty much a lock they're going to take Luck. And I think as time goes on, it's going to be more information coming out that's going to lead to either one, Peyton gets released, or two, they completely restructure his deal. So they don't have to pay him the money, if they can even do that. I don't know the NFL to that extent to know if they can restructure so that that $28 million roster bonus he doesn't have to get. I don't know. But what are you hearing out there in Indianapolis?
The general consensus is that, you know, the Colts are going to draft Andrew Luck, and that people are starting to think here that, you know, Peyton Manning's not going to be around. Simply because of a lot of the tweets from Irsay and just, again, a consensus, you know, bringing a whole new GM who, because Polian had, you know, a plan to keep Peyton and you know, work around him and all that other stuff. But they asked him, you know, they're bringing a new GM. They don't, from my understanding, plan on bringing Reggie Wayne back or maybe even Robert Mathis. I'm not really exactly sure, again, who knows. But the general consensus is it's a rebuilding. They're completely just starting with a fresh slate. You know, we'll see. I still think that, you know, they will try to restructure Peyton Manning. I think he'll happily oblige, and they'll give him a, you know, work on a lesser of a cap number than what he has now. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if Peyton Manning's really going to be here next season. I mean, it almost seems like this could be then the airing out news that he, you know, he'll be gone, maybe to try to get people to make trade offers so they can test the market, because, you know, otherwise if they say, oh, we're going to keep Peyton Manning regardless, you know, then people really aren't going to try to, you know, to grab Peyton Manning or try to make offers. So I'm not really sure. No one really knows, and that's the thing. Nursery's lights are kind of, lips are kind of sealed, but people still get the sense, though, that they're just going to bring a whole new regime, new everything to Indianapolis and kind of redo what the 98 Colts did with, you know, drafting Peyton Manning, now it's me, Andrew Luck, and build around him, and, you know, they're expecting to see the same thing.
Train, if it was your decision, it's up to you now. You've got, and let's just add one piece that we don't know. Let's assume that Peyton gets cleared and he's healthy. Okay, the neck regenerates and they say, yep, you know, it fully regenerated. He's healthy. He's a go to play. Let's just say we get that news in a month. Okay, and so there's still time before the deadline, and you're in that GM owner position, and it's your call to decide. Do with Peyton Manning, and your choices are very simply: either you keep him on the roster and you pay him the money, or you release him. What do you do?
Those are my only two choices.
Yeah, if those are your only two choices, I don't want to speculate on the restructuring simply because I don't.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that because it's a roster bonus, you can't restructure it. That's already part of the contract. And my gut, I'm going to look into it, and I'll find out by next show. But I think they're locked into that. And the only way that they can get out of the roster bonus is to release them. That's what I'm almost positive, but I'm going to find that out by next week. So let's keep that out of there. Let's keep restructuring
all
off
right.
The table for now. What do you do if you're sitting there with Luck, maybe even RG3, although they're saying that it looks like Luck, but RG3 is another option, but you got Peyton Manning coming back healthy after a year off. What do you do?
I understand this was kind of the year of the rookie quarterback. You saw a lot of them play, you know, anywhere from good to pretty well throughout the season. But I'm still a firm believer that, you know, I saw what happened with Aaron Rodgers. He was able to sit behind Brett Favre for 3 years, just sit there, almost four. Was it three or four? It was 3 years, right?
Three years.
Step behind Brett Favre and watch. And when he actually had a chance to hit the stage, it was like, whoa. You know, the bar just got raised every single year. He just got better. To now, you know, he's like that, as Deion Sanders like to put it. So if it was me, I keep Peyton Manning. I draft Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck sits. After about 3 years, he's my starter. Well, he's 3 years. He's behind Peyton Manning. He's learned the offense. You sit behind probably one of the best quarterbacks in history. So, dude, it's a win-win situation to me for Andrew Luck. You don't have the pressure of getting out there as a rookie and having to deliver.
Right. And we also don't know the financial implications of keeping Peyton and how that would affect other roster moves they'd want to make. So that's what I'm going to try to get that information by next show. And then we could have a little more educated debate on whether they should keep Peyton or release him. Last topic of the night. I just had to talk about Peyton Manning. I know I had a couple other things on the agenda, but this one is the one that's most intriguing to me. When you think about Peyton Manning, you think about the MVPs, you think about the Colts starting every year off 9-0, 10-0, 11-0, and the Colts always being a powerhouse year after year after year. And yet Peyton has one Super Bowl ring. And Eli Manning right now is still eligible for his second ring. I mean, he's two wins away from having his second Super Bowl ring. You got to ask the question, if Eli does win the Super Bowl, they go out and beat the 49ers, they go in and beat either the Ravens or the Pats, because either team, I mean, we're not talking about the Broncos on a Cinderella run getting in there. We're talking about two top AFC teams, arguably, no disrespect to the Steelers, because I would easily throw them in that mix too, but arguably the two top, AFC teams this year. And if he goes and can beat the 49ers in New York, I mean, he's beating Green Bay in Green Bay. He's beating, I guess we can start with Atlanta, although we never really believed in Atlanta, but, beat Atlanta in Atlanta, Green Bay in Green Bay, beats, 07 all over again, beats the 49ers in San Francisco, then goes to the Super Bowl and beats either Tom Brady or the Ravens D. Do we crown Eli and say finally he is better than Peyton? Let me just say this. I have been probably the biggest Eli critic, because I think the talk of Eli being better than Romo to me is ridiculous. Now, that said, he's having a great playoffs, and I give him all the credit in the world. He's playing well. I still think Romo had a better regular season, but that's a topic for another day. But that said, what he's doing in these playoffs, I mean, man, I can't take nothing away from him. So now, when you win this game, now you're about to go after your third. And would you guys, would either one of you say, yeah, he's got two and Peyton's got one, Eli's the better quarterback? Train, NFC, talking about Eli, what do you think?
No. I'm sorry. Hell no. Nah. It's almost like saying Elvis Gerback is better than Dan Marino. No. I can't do it, man. I'm sorry. No. Peyton Manning is freaking awesome. Eli Manning, he does get it done. But, dude, they have to fight so hard every year. Every year. It comes down to week 16 and 17 to whether they're going to get in the playoff or even possibly win the division. Has a fight every year. And it has a lot to do with Eli Manning's quarterback play being inconsistent throughout the entire season. So quarterback, yeah, if he gets it, then his team did it again. But no, he's not the better.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
How many people got Elvis Gerecht jerseys? Who was the quarterback that won it for the Ravens?
Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer. Who has his jersey?
No, yeah, why? But I tell you, man, that guy, he won the Super Bowl, man, and they sit him up there I quote my good friend Stephen A. Smith, it is so disrespectful to have Trent Dilfer sit up there with Steve Young. Are you kidding me?
Man.
And our Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. Steve Young was great, okay? He was a great quarterback. Trent Dilfer was okay.
he rode Ray Lewis coattail to a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what he did. If you had the nerve enough to talk about you wanted to shop around and hit free agency, no wonder Billick was upset. Are you serious?
Man,
I got you here.
I have to agree with you, man. I just, my God. K-Star, your thoughts on the Eli Peyton comparison?
No, he wouldn't be considered Peyton because Peyton willed, you know, the Colts for almost a decade, consecutive playoff runs and 12-win teams and all that stuff. However, though, if he went to another ring, especially against, like, Tom Brady yet again, well, you kind of have to elevate Eli to some, you know, higher ground than he has right now. Not with Peyton, because Peyton, I think, is going to go down to the top five of all time. We're not going to say about Eli. However, if he gets this ring, the second ring, you know, we're talking about maybe probably a Hall of Fame quarterback. It's weird to say because Eli Manning, and there's still people who kind of like look at Eli and it's like, well, I don't know if I trust him. But, you know, again, if he, you know, beats like, say, Tom Brady yet again in the Super Bowl, it's, hey, who knows what the rest of his career entails because he's not exactly old. He's still pretty young. He still has another second half to his career. So,
I want you to hear this. Listen very carefully.
Blow it out your ass.
Did you hear that?
Blow it out your ass. I mean,
Hall of Fame. Really?
I know it sounds strange, but I mean, let's just.
No. I'm going to tell you why it's strange. Train hit it right on the head. Yes, Eli has made plays and has played, you know, well. But Eli has benefited in 07 and now this year from a phenomenal defense. This isn't like Brady in 07 who threw 50 touchdown passes and you know, that was the most prolific offense maybe we've ever seen. You know, this isn't that. This isn't, you know, this is a defense that is playing at a level that is on the same level as we've seen the Ravens and now the 49ers. It's phenomenal defense, and I think it's helping Eli, and it's covering up some of the deficiencies that we've saw throughout the season. You know, he's good. He's good, but, I mean, you know, put it
away. I want to go that far to call that defense great. I mean, that defense was much maligned for most of the season.
They're playing great now.
But we can't make excuses as to why Eli keeps having success. I mean, the thing with Eli is and how you can never compare him to Peyton was Peyton consistently was great, you know. With Eli, it's been, you know, he's been like the master of inconsistency. So it's tough to think of him as the upper echelon. So, again, though,
why isn't it an excuse to point out the fact that he is benefiting from the play of his defense? Not an excuse. That's fact.
He's playing because Eli May himself is playing great football right now. That offense is scoring a lot of points.
Hold on, dude.
If you're not playing great right now?
Wait. I just want to take it back. If you think about the first Super Bowl, dude, that defense put Brady on his back the entire game. All Eli had to do was make a few plays. Right now, he's playing well, but also the defense. That defense was all over the Packers.
Let me ask you something. Last year, when the Packers won the Super Bowl, how much did we hear about the Packers' defense and how much did we hear about Aaron Rodgers? That defense last year was phenomenal. But we didn't keep hearing how phenomenal that defense was. We kept hearing how great Aaron Rodgers is. So at some point, you have to give Eli
I don't know what we heard. We weren't on the air, and I wouldn't have said that. That defense was incredible last year. But this year, But this year we've heard just the opposite. The defense stunk this year, and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, in spite of how poorly the Saints defense, the Packers defense, and the Patriots defense played, those three quarterbacks played at a phenomenal level. And I think that, you know, we've seen, especially in the last several games, the Giants defense play better than all those defenses I just mentioned. And I think that's what Eli has had, is a defense that has helped him at times when he hasn't played up to snuff. Now, he played a good game against the Packers. I'll give him credit. What's that?
He put about 30 points on the board. He had a great game at Lambeau, winning yet again.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, his defense helped him out. I mean, you know, they did a good job on the
turnovers.
Right, you know, so I think when you put away the anointing oils just yet. I mean, let me ask you this.
I'm not annoying. I'm just
better than is he better than Ben?
No.
If he wins this year, would he be better than Ben? He's got two.
No.
Ben's got two.
No, Ben's been to three Super Bowls.
But he's only won two.
We're not going there.
Wow.
Hold on. Ben, here's the thing with Eli. I just talked about it. Hold on. No, don't ban me anything. Listen, the thing with Eli is he's been so inconsistent during the regular season of getting his team to these division titles. There's been a reason why they haven't been to the playoffs since 07. Every year.
Say it again.
There's been a reason why the Giants have been in the playoffs since 07.
You. So let's call all this talk a Hall of Fame
Thank
and all
you.
This great.
No. Hold on. T, I'm not saying the man's going to be in the Hall of Fame if he went to some. Well, my point is, I mean, he still has another back lab to his career to kind of fix these inconsistencies that we still think of Eli
at the end of his career, we'll have the conversation on whether or not he can go to the Hall of Fame. It gets ridiculous to even use that term now, even if he wins the Super Bowl this year. I just from what you just said, I mean, the last three seasons, they ain't done nothing, and he's been their starting quarterback.
I agree.
It's premature. Hey, Train, was that just too easy or what?
That's it. Appreciate you, K-Star.
But you told me no. You can't say no.
All right. Well, listen, we're over time. I appreciate, we had those last few topics that I threw in there because, I thought they were interesting. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Hey, I really want to take a minute and thank the audience. I looked at our numbers last week, and wow, I mean, a lot of you are not listening live. And when we used to do the Madden Voice before, when the EAFL League was really flourishing and we were doing a lot of shows on tournaments and all of that, we had a lot of live listeners and a lot of people in the chat room, a lot of calls. And now we're doing a lot of NFL talk, and we don't get a lot of calls, and we don't get a lot of live listeners, but we get more than we've ever had archived. So that means you guys either go on to the website later or iTunes us or however you're doing it. But the numbers are improving. They're increasing, and it makes me feel good to know that, we're doing this and we're not just three of us just sitting here talking like we're having a phone call, that there are people that are actually out there listening to us. It might be tomorrow morning, might be during the weekend before. I don't know when you guys listen, but we want to thank you for the support for the Madden Voice. And we are going to continue to work hard to make the show better and better and better and try to give you the best analysis from people just like you. You watch ESPN, you watch Fox News, you watch NFL Network, you watch all these channels, and you get all the former players and former coaches and all those analysts, and it's great, and we all love that. But you know what? We're just like you guys. We're just fans of our teams. We're fan of football. We're fan of the NFL, and we're just giving you a little bit of a different take on football from a fan, from an everyday average Joe fans perspective. And clearly with the increase in listeners that I'm seeing, you guys are enjoying it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We appreciate the support. I got a commitment from K-Star to stay on the show. Still waiting for one for Dr. Train, but I'm going to work on him. I'm going to work on him off the air. I got his number. I'm going to get on him off the air, and we're going to continue to do this show, and hopefully I can convince him to stay with us. Remember, after the Super Bowl, we will do a show after the Super Bowl, but then we're going to go into an off-season schedule, and it won't be every week. I'm not exactly sure how often it'll be, but it definitely won't be every week because it really won't be that much to talk about. but we'll keep you posted on that. So with that said, K-Star, any last words?
No, I'm just looking forward to these games. And go Patriots, please do not let Joe Flacco's ugly mug be in Indianapolis. I just realized something. Oh, my God. I live in Indianapolis. I cannot have Ravens fans in my presence around me. I will go to jail, people. We cannot. Holy shit. I just heard this. Holy stuff. No, go Patriots. I'm going to get Tom Brady. This is ridiculous. I cannot have Ravens fans flocking around my area. I cannot have it happen. Oh, God.
That's good. I like that. Trane, any last words?
Just a couple of things. It would be awesome to see K-Star do a show from the jail cell next week. That would be awesome. So, yeah, this is K-Star reporting from jail. Yeah, I almost said. But I just want to say in Bears news, man, I'm happy to see that the Bears were able to retain special teams coach Daytoon. That was awesome for another 2 years. That's awesome because dude has our special teams up there one or two almost like every year. So I was glad to see them retain him as a coach.
All right.
Yeah.
Sounds good. All right. Well, listen, with that said, I want to thank Trane, Dr. Trane, of course. I want to thank K-Star. I hope everybody enjoys the games. And the Madden Voice will be back here live next Tuesday night. We will be here to talk about the conference championships, to give our predictions for the Super Bowl, and any other pertinent NFL news that pops up. So just remember to check out the Madden Voice. We're on Twitter, the Madden Voice. Facebook, just type in the Madden Voice. And, of course, iTunes, you know it, the Madden Voice. And remember, we will see it this weekend. All feuds settled on the field. Take care.